Good morning, OCC, and welcome online. So pleased to have you with us, whether you're watching it live or later throughout the day, wherever you are right now. I know that we've got some Connect groups that are gathering right now and engaging with us together. That excites me so much. And maybe you're meeting up with others throughout the week. And our prayer and our hope is that as we gather online, that we realize that God isn't restricted just to a Sunday morning service, but actually he's part of our whole life. And our aim is that through these Sunday mornings, we're going to have some discussions. And so I'm excited over this next couple of weeks today and then in 2 weeks' time that we've got some guests that are going to come and have discipleship discussions with us. Discussions about what it means to live, love and look like Jesus and invite others into that. And so my prayer is that these wouldn't just be moments. These would be facilitators. These would be opportunities for us to start to discuss and to have conversations, to give us an excuse to meet up with people. Maybe you want to just use these as beginnings of conversations to start you thinking and deliberately, intentionally meet up with someone and start having a conversation. Maybe you start to think, how can I start to love those around me like Jesus would? And that's our heart for this, as we seek to understand what it means to be followers of Jesus. And so we're going to worship together, we're going to have a discussion, and then we're going to keep these sessions quite short with the aim that we free up some time for you to facilitate meeting up with others, to have discussions, to start to share how good God is and what he's speaking into your life, or maybe with non-Christian friends and start to have food with them and just display the love of Jesus and hospitality. And so we're in a season where we're exploring what it means to follow Jesus. And so we're going to worship together right now. And so I want to invite you, wherever you are, this is an opportunity for worship. Worship is where we come and we sing. Singing is part of our worship. So you might want to sing with these songs and declare the truth that we see in these songs. But also, it's about acknowledging who God is. So maybe right now, you just want to start to think, God, you are good because. Maybe share in the chat, God, you are good because. Maybe just speak out now as we start to worship. God, you are good because. And so we're going to come and worship as a community right now and declare the truth of who God is. And we declare, God, that you are good because of your never-ending, unending, faithful love to us, your grace that is poured out in spite of who we are, that you lavish your love and your grace upon us and your faithfulness, your commitment to journey alongside us and to ask us to partner with you in seeing your kingdom come. And so as we worship you right now, open our eyes to get a glimpse, a greater glimpse of who you are and the love that you have for us. Father, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Holy Spirit, we love you. And we worship you right now as a community. So let's worship in whatever way we can in this space, as we sing, as we type, as we share with each other, as we declare out loud who God is. We worship him together right now.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. 'Cause you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here. Lighting turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop, yeah. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, never stop working. Never stop. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop working. You never stop. Your plans are still to prosper. You've not forgotten us. You're with us in the fire and the flood. You're faithful forever, perfect in love. You are sovereign over us.
Jesus. your silence fair. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, and your name is a light that the shadows can't deny.
Father, we thank you for your presence. Father, we thank you that you are an ever-present help in times of trouble, in times of plenty, in loss, in grief and joy. You are ever-present. Father, we thank you that is your unending, unchanging nature, your faithfulness. You are the same yesterday, today and forever, and you are present with us by your Spirit right now, wherever we're meeting, wherever we're engaging with this, whatever time of day or night, you are present. Your Spirit is with us. And so we thank you, God. Lord, we thank you that, and I want to encourage you in this prayer, that as disciples, there's not a moment that we live where his presence is not with us, where his Spirit is not with us. And during this season, we're having some discipleship discussions. We're seeking to understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus. For us as a church, discipleship is seeking to live, love, and look like Jesus and invite others into that. And so we're going to explore that more and more and more as a church, as we refocus on what Jesus is actually calling us to, what he calls his church to be. And so as part of those discussions, it is my privilege to bring into the service right now, to bring into this moment, Elim's Theological College principal and also director of training, Dave Newton. So we're going to bring him in and have a discussion around what it means to be a disciple.
Well, it's a privilege for me today to be with Dave Newton. Dave is the director of training for Elim. He is also Elim's Theological College, is it principal? Would that be the title? Yeah.
It is.
Also a husband, a father, serving local church. And for those that aren't aware, we're having discipleship discussions during this summer season. And Dave, I just wanted to pick your brains and have a conversation around discipleship, specifically with you individually, but also the role that you have within Elim. So I wonder, could you just share with us a little bit about what you do in Elim, what that looks like, how you juggle all of the things that you're doing?
Yeah, no, it's great to be with you, John. Thank you so much for inviting me to be part of your discipleship discussions. So my role, as you've said, is director of training. So really it's about the formation of people coming into ministry within our movement, and then the ongoing development of people who are serving within our movement. And I like to think of it in two terms. You know, we want all of our leaders to be anointed by God. You know, we want them to kind of have that kind of passion, that heart for God, that fuel that only comes from God. So anointed, but also equipped, because there's certain things that, you know, we can learn from mistakes in the past, or we don't have to do things the way we've always done them. You know, when we trip up, we can get up and do it differently second time. And so for me, that those two go hand in hand. We need the anointing, the empowering from God, but we also need to be practically equipped for what it is God's called us to. So I get to do that through serving in the college and overseeing the theological college, but also kind of heading up the strategic training side within the movement.
Fantastic. And you know, moving into discipleship, it actually feels like what you're sharing there is something of what it means to be a disciple. I mean, what would you speak into as that word disciple? It can be confusing for people, can't it, to kind of get their head around. What does that even mean for you? What do you understand as the word discipleship?
Yeah, let me go for what I think is quite a simple but all-encompassing definition. So here we go. I think you can break it into three areas. You're calling people to follow Jesus. To be a disciple is to be a follower, to be a learner. And so you're calling people to follow Jesus. Secondly, you're creating relationships to help people know how to walk in the ways of Jesus. So, we don't do discipleship on our own. It's not an individual pursuit. You know, it's not just me and God. I do it alongside others. And so relationships that will help and stimulate that to happen. And then the third area is commissioning everyone to make disciples through the power of the Spirit. So, firstly, I follow Jesus. Secondly, I do that with other people, could call that the church. And then thirdly, I commission others to follow him. And that, for me, is a three-pronged process of discipleship.
So how has that changed over the years? Is that something you've kind of always, from the minute, I don't know your story of coming to faith and when you grew up in a Christian family, what that, maybe you want to speak into that, but how is that how it's always been for you, or is that formed over your discipleship journey?
Yeah, John, I grew up in a holiness church. So a holiness church basically was all about walking straight, not jumping high. You know, so worship looked like committed obedience. You know, being in church three times on a Sunday, and being at every prayer meeting, every house group, you know, following the rules. You know, so for me, my early understanding of discipleship was formed in that. So it was making saved people better people. You know, yes, I've said yes to Jesus, but how do I become better? You know, more holy in my walk with God. So I defined discipleship as the things that I didn't do, you know, as in the sin I avoided, rather than the things that Jesus had called me to do. And so if you're asking me how my understanding of discipleship has changed in recent years, actually I realized that God's called me to do things for him, not just not do things that offend him. And of course it's both and, but it's given me an excitement, an energy, a purpose, rather than just a list of things to avoid. So it's not just sin avoidance, it's an abundance of life, it's an adventure, it's an opportunity to invite others to get on board with what God is doing in our world.
So have you got any practical examples of how your discipleship journey looks in your life practically, you know, on a day-to-day basis or a week-by-week basis? Some of the stuff you've just spoken into there, that adventure that God invites us into. Have you got any examples?
Yeah. So I'll give you a very real example, John. I would think nothing of avoiding a church meeting if it meant I could spend time with unsaved people and help them on their journey towards Jesus. For me, that is not a lack of commitment. It's not a lack of connection. In fact, I would be hoping and praying that my church are even more connected with what God has called me to do. I'm not using it as an excuse, but I would say, hey guys, you know, that meeting that happens on a Wednesday is also the night that I do football training for a group of 16-year-old lads. Would you mind if I didn't turn up and you pray for me, and I'll keep you informed to see if we can help these guys journey towards Jesus, because at the moment they're nowhere near him. And so for me practically that looks like, you know, I moved into a Christian bubble when I moved to Malvern. You know, I spend most of my time with Christians, we're training Christians, I hang out with pastors. I needed to make sure that I had touch points in my life where I was connecting with people who weren't yet saved, but I didn't want to disconnect myself from church in the process. So for me, that's a very practical example. I coach a group of 16-year-old lads. There's 16 of them. I spend 3 hours a week with them, and you know, see most of their parents on a regular basis. And that would be my outlet as a means of helping people who are not yet saved understand a little bit more about what it means to be a Jesus follower.
And so for you, that would be life in community, life on life with that group of people, displaying the impact that Jesus has had upon you?
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest, you know, most of it is just playing football. You know, so I'm not going into this with an ulterior motive, with any weird agenda, but because Jesus is in me, I take him everywhere I go. So therefore, you know, if I sense a bit of unfair play going on, if I get a bit overexcited and start screaming at the referee when I shouldn't be, you know, I want to create a culture in my team where that behavior is challenged, where I can model something of what it means to win well, lose well, you know, be offended well, and all of those kind of stuff. And if I can help on this journey towards Jesus in that, then that's great, you know. So yeah,
very good. So talking about the idea of there's permission to do stuff, and it's not just laying stuff down. What, you know, there's dangers, isn't there, in discipleship of kind of picking up certain things and running with certain things and not fully understanding what discipleship means. So from a local church perspective, have you seen the dangers of us not speaking into and teaching discipleship well, the danger of non-discipleship within people's lives?
Yeah, I think unfortunately we've created a dual class Christianity, and we've given the impression that somehow we can be saved and not sign up to be a disciple. You know, so this idea that I am, you know, Jesus has saved me, he's forgiven me, but I'm not really a disciple yet. You know, I haven't chosen to follow everything that he's commanded me to do. And so really for me, that goes back to the gospel. What is the gospel that we're preaching? What is the good news message? And what are we calling people to do? So you look in the gospels and it's recorded that Jesus is speaking to the crowd. So this isn't his disciples. This is his call to the crowd. And it's deny everything, take up your cross and follow me. And now that's a hard message to hear if you've already signed up to follow Jesus. These people haven't yet. And I think what I'm getting at, John, is that we need to say that discipleship is not an option. It's the only thing that is available. We either follow Jesus or we don't. And following Jesus means obeying everything that he's commanded us to do and live that out. So we cannot afford to have a Christianity that is a non-discipleship Christianity. Because it's powerless, really. It's not going to affect any change in the world. Yeah.
So for you then, you know, you spoke about the upbringing of that holiness church, of that discipleship model being one of just constant improvement, being better at following Jesus. And, you know, discipleship is a non-option when it comes to following Jesus. How do you deal with the muck-ups that you make?
Do you mean sin? Do you mean?
I mean, when
I just blow it in ministry, or
when you're journeying with Jesus and you realise I've not been all that I know I should be for Jesus. Yeah. Do I head down? Just got to try harder. Is it, you know? I don't want to put answers in your mouth, but where do you go when you have that realisation? I can't do this.
Yeah. Let me answer that question by going to a really familiar passage of scripture, John. So we all know, you know, the discipleship passage, you know, in Matthew, you know, Jesus says, go make disciples, teach them to obey everything I've commanded. I am with you always. I think sometimes we only teach a fragment of that command. So let me very, very quickly give you the four aspects. The first one is go. We have been commanded to go. It's not stay and make disciples. So wherever you go, and as you are going, you are formed into the likeness of Christ and you help others become like Christ. So I think the first answer to the question is, I'm going to make mistakes as I go, but in the process of going, I will be honed more into the likeness of Christ. So don't wait to be perfect to go. In the going, you will be formed. That's the first thing I want to say. So, second thing is we're called to go and make disciples, not just believers, not just people who hear and understand, but genuinely are disciples. The third thing, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded. And so for me, I know what the benchmark is. What has Jesus commanded me to do? Well, he's commanded me to love him. He's commanded me to love others. He's called me to be full of generosity. He's called me to be full of peace and patience and kindness and goodness. But where does that come from? And that's the final part of the command. I will be with you. So it's not dependent on me. It's a partnership, a divine dance with the Spirit. So I try with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me, is Colossians 1:28.
Yeah.
And so I get to partner and participate with Jesus. So when I fall flat on my face, I grab myself by the shoelaces and say, come on, let's go again. You know, sometimes I take a bit longer than I should do, if I'm honest, to get to that place. But I recognize it's not about me, it's about him in me that really makes the difference, you know. And I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, I avoided it. So.
It's Philippians here, it says, without Christ, we can do nothing.
Yeah.
And you know, the John 15 of the fruit, the abiding in the vine, the fruit yeah. comes from the abiding. And I love that idea as well, that actually without going, we can't be formed, that it's in the discipleship journey actually is one where we're commanded to go. So actually in our discipleship, we have to go, and in the going, that's where the forming is taking place. And actually, I know in my life when I've gone and, you know, you're in community with people, maybe you stood alongside someone that really grates you, that actually in that moment of going, God's forming something of a greater capacity for love, forming something where it's chipping bits off me in order to be who he's calling me to be. And it all comes from that going and being who God's calling us to be.
Yeah. I mean, John, it's interesting that in the Greek, that term go is as you are going. So it's a dynamic. It's not just I'm stopped now, I've got to go, you know, and then I've stopped again. And the church has told me to go. It's in my everyday living and life, as I am going, make disciples.
Yeah. That Romans 12 in your everyday walking around life.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I mean, just bringing things to a bit of a close, and talking about our everyday life, this past 12, 17 months has been hard. It's been really challenging. And I just wonder, in the midst of it being really challenging, what do you see as some of the things that this COVID season has revealed about where we are as the church, but also how is it speaking into discipleship and a discipleship culture in your view?
Yeah, really interesting this question, John, because I think when you talk about the impact of COVID, in some senses, it has caused us to probably place a less... Let me say it this way. We've realized as Christians we can survive in following Jesus without being in the same building every week. Now, I do not want to undermine the necessity of gathering together. I believe in gathering together. I don't believe that is a good definition of the church. I think it's part of a definition of the church, but gathering is important. We want to be together. We want to celebrate, pray together, encourage one another. But the church has not died because we've not been in a building for 18 months. And so I suppose what it's done is it's fired up our imagination as to what does it mean to be church. And it's caused us to ask some of these questions. How can we be church in the gathered and also in the scattered? I think the second thing it's done is it's given all of us a part to play. I think there's a danger sometimes in church that there's an over-reliance on one or two people doing church to us. So one or two people are the doers and everybody else are the receivers. You know, I think this has possibly reminded us that all of us get to be doers, all of us get to participate, all of us get to play in this discipleship game. And I think that's really exciting. So we're all called to be missionaries wherever we are and wherever we're sent. One of my favorite verses, John, is the early part of Ephesians. I think Ephesians is a brilliant book to study if you're looking at discipleship. But Ephesians 1 talks about the whole idea of Christ being the head of the church. And it goes on to say, which is his body, the church. So we know that we're the body, he's the head. There's only one head. And it's our role as the body to fill everything in every way. So in other words, how do we do church? We do church in the scattered, by filling every crevice of society, you know, whether that be law, whether that be business, whether that be arts, whether that be education, whether that be health. We, as we go and fill every crevice with him as the head, then that's really what church is all about. So for me, COVID has probably reminded us about the scattered church, where maybe we've placed an overemphasis on the gathered church.
Great. And you, final question, I think you've spoken into this, but what would excite you in 10 years' time if we started seeing the church in a certain way? What for you would be something that you could just go, that is, to see that within the church would be so exciting?
I think I've borrowed this from someone else, so you'll have to forgive me. But Bill Hull in his book talks about a challenge really with the way that we've approached discipleship. So we've got an incredible message to communicate, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Yeah, we've got a platform that we communicate that message, and that is the Church of Jesus Christ. And we want to see an impact, which is community kingdom transformation. Yeah. So there's a healthy triangle. We've got a message, we've got a platform, and there's an impact. But my worry is that we've missed out an essential element, which is the delivery mechanism. So let's think, what businesses have thrived in COVID? Well, it's the ability to get shopping from the store to your doorstep. Yeah. So Amazon have thrived, you know, Tesco delivery, even Aldi have started doing deliveries, you know, anything that gets the product from where it was to where you are is what is working in this world. So what would excite me about the future for the church would be that we really work on our delivery mechanism. And I think the delivery mechanism is discipleship. The platform helps people realize that you and I have a part to play in delivering this good news message to every single person in our world. So Amazon would have failed if you had to turn up between 11 and 12 o'clock on a Sunday to get your parcel. Yeah. The fact that it came to your doorstep made it work. Yeah. What would it look like if the church came to people's doorsteps, came to people's sports clubs, came to people's workplace, and the good news of Jesus was made known? I think that would be incredible. I think it would be transformational, and it's something that I want to be part of.
Man, that's exciting. It sounds like going to the ends of the earth to me.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it's just following the commands that we've been given. Yeah. So,
yeah. Dave, I want to thank you for your time. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for everything you're doing within Elim, and even it's impacting our local church. We've got people coming into the college and studying, and it's so exciting to see and encouraging to hear the heart of those that are leading key things within Elim and where we're going as a movement. So I just want to thank you for all that you're doing. Really appreciate you.
No problem at all. Thank you, John.
Wow, so much stuff there from Dave, wasn't there? And I want to encourage you. The purpose of these times online is not more content for us to consume. It's a discussion for us to dialogue with. And as disciples seeking to make disciples, what does that look like? What does that mean as we go into our everyday, into our workplaces, the places that we enjoy socially, all those kind of different spaces? Some of what Dave was saying, what does it mean that Jesus is with us in those spaces and we can bring transformation? And so I want to encourage you, why don't you arrange to meet somebody this week? Why don't you have a conversation via WhatsApp? What with your connect group? Why don't you, maybe you're not meeting as you would normally through August, maybe just a couple of you get together or have a chat or discuss some of what was spoken about by Dave and myself there. And how do we start to look at how we bed that into the reality of our everyday life? And so I want to invite you right now. We're gonna bring things to a close. We're gonna have a song right now by way of a response. And what I want to encourage you is to say, ask God, what are you saying to me in this season for us as a church family as we seek to step into the story of God for the sake of Stratford-on-Avon? What does that look like for me, God? God, what are you saying to me, and how am I going to respond? How do I get to live? God calls us to a life of obedience. And so if he's speaking to us, someone may just fall on your heart right now and you need to send them a text message to encourage them. Maybe someone in your workplace or a family member that you struggle with, and you just need to think, oh, I'm going to pray for them right now. Whatever it is, God, what are you saying and how am I going to respond? And so worship team are going to lead us in a moment of response right now where we're just going to cry out to God, just pray to God, ask him, what are you saying to me as a follower of Jesus and how am I going to respond in this moment? And then we'll bring things to a close.
If you're troubled, heavy-hearted, come to Jesus and find your peace. You're run down, empty-handed, come to Jesus and find your strength. He is hope for the hopeless, rest for the weary, help for the hurting. Of peace, author and maker of everything, defender, deliverer, king of kings, he is helper and healer forevermore, savior and shelter through every storm, my refuge, redeemer, and Lord of lords, he is child of heaven, son of man, Provider, protector, the great I am, Alpha, Omega, beginning and end, he is hope for the hopeless, rest for the weary, help for the hurting, he is
Amen. Thank you, Becky. That is who he is. That's who he is for us. That's who he is for the world that so desperately need him, that good news of who Jesus is. And he uses the church by which to saturate the world with his presence. And so be encouraged. And I want to encourage you, some of what Dave has shared with you has stirred something within you. Let's start to step into that as a church. We're in a season where we're exploring what it means to be actually stepping into that which Jesus called his church to be. And maybe for you over this coming season, maybe some extra kind of theological study or learning is something that's burning inside of you. Well, there's a link coming up on the screen right now. You can go and find out more about Regent's Theological College. Some from our church are already studying there, and it's where I studied, it's where others have studied, and it's incredible what they do there. And so please do go online, find out a little bit more if you want to engage in some additional study. They make it available in so many different formats, different ways. It's great space that we have within Elim. And so I want to encourage you, we're bringing things to a close right now, and the service this morning is shorter. They're going to be shorter during August because we want to facilitate time for you to either just get alone with God or get in community with others. Go and be with those around you that perhaps would never ever normally step across the threshold of a church. Let's be intentional. This isn't an excuse to have less time in church, isn't that great? Let's be intentional with the time that we've got and seek to share God's love with those around us. Seek to encounter him for ourselves and allow him to speak deep into our hearts. So my prayer is that as a church, we would increasingly seek to live, love and look like him, and spur one another on and invite each other into that, that we would see more and more become disciples that make disciples. So have a blessed week, whether you're on holiday, whether you're having time off or not, whether this is a manic month or not. We just pray God's blessing over you and look forward to seeing you in person next week and then online again the week after. And then just to remind you, on the 29th of August, we're going to meet at the Rec in Stratford. Bring your picnic blankets, bring your picnics, bring some games. We're going to have some fun in the park from 10:30 on the 29th of August and enjoy that time together, and you can invite your friends. So looking forward to that, and we'll see you at what you're able to make in August. God bless you.